Oh, it's not working.
Okay, that's fine.
It's good to hear the helicopter story. I should have asked that, but never thought. Well, it's kind of fun. Okay. We are ready. Application of 1 Corinthians 8. All that knowledge that you have, and yet some of it has to be restrained from time to time in order to be loving. Many of you probably already know that. Okay. Thoughts? Yes. Ethan. Okay, good. So let's suppose that you knew some meat had been offered to idols or was being offered to idols. Is it sinful to eat it? 1 Corinthians 8 would say no. Just generally, the answer is no. Now, if it's actually in the process of being offered, 1 Corinthians 10 would say yes in that case, right? So in that case, Now you're looking like, at least, that you're fellowshipping with demons, right? Okay, now I'm going to go one more step and say, but in your example, if you were starving, I would say eat it, right? I mean, that's what I think that pastorally you would say, okay, in order to save a life, you're in a different situation. And yes, if you needed it to eat, for whatever reason, you were constrained to only be able to eat that. Now, I wouldn't say as a Christian, go up there, sit up there, worship that God, and then take the food. In that case, you want to say, no, I'm just going to die. But if, you know, if all you're looking at is just eating, as you know, and without the worshiping, even though it was whatever set on that grate, pardon? Yes, similar to the Sabbath legislation, where you should honor the Lord on the Sabbath. And there are some things that you might not normally do on the Sabbath, but if it was to save a life, you should do it. Right. Excellent question. Okay, David?
So in Revelation 2, John reports, we got the letter to the church of Christ.
Yes.
In the letter to Thyatira, at verse 20, Jesus says, "But I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, teaching, seducing, you practice sexual immorality, and you eat food sacrificed to idols."
Yes. So in Revelation 2, there's a charge against one of the churches in Revelation. Okay, so then what I think most interpreters would say is, when you take all of the biblical revelation, so let's take all the biblical revelation and then set Revelation 2 aside for a second, it seems to say you can eat it if you're not there, right? But don't go there and eat it, right? So let's see. If you're at the temple, takeout is okay. Dine in is not okay. Okay? So I'll put it that way. All right? Now, okay, so now you have, okay, so you have, that's, okay, so you have all of that. Now you have this saying in Revelation 2, and what I would say is, what we want to do is then bring all the biblical revelation together. And if you bring all the biblical revelation together, then it seems like what Revelation 2 has to say in that context would be, we're talking about that you're sitting there eating it, looking like you're participating in the feast. That would be my take on it. David, yes, Sue.
In this case, I think of James 4:17. It says, the one that knows the right thing to do and doesn't do it, because it is sin.
Yes. Okay, good. So another application or other implication of this, the person who knows the right thing to do and doesn't do that, to him it's sin. And that might be for the weaker brother or for the stronger brother, right? If you know you're supposed to be loving with your knowledge and you don't do it, that's not good. If you know, if in your mind, your conscience is settled that you shouldn't eat this, then you shouldn't eat it, right? Yeah. Who is it that says to go against conscience is a dangerous thing?
Martin Luther,
yes. Okay, David.
So there's some things in life often we hear the term, it's more of an art than a science. And so I think there is a place for trying to bring a weaker brother along in knowledge and sanctification. Can you maybe talk on that? And we do hope that weaker Christians who have these issues over time would come to not have that weakness. But maybe how do we press that, or how do we
bring
them along in loving?
Yeah. Okay, good. So how do you do this in the church? Okay, so first of all, let me say there are issues where there are issues where there isn't a stronger brother than a weaker brother. There are issues where if you believe this, you're a Christian. If you don't believe it, you're not a Christian. We need to say that, right? Somebody says, "Well, I'm a weaker brother with regard to the Trinity." We go, "No, you're not a brother if you don't believe the Trinity, right?" So we want to say that first. Okay, so then the second thing is, okay, how do you bring along people? And for me, one of the best places for that is Romans 14. Okay, so if you went to Romans 14, now this is another dietary situation, right? This is a situation where some people think I'm only going to eat vegetables, and some people think I can eat meat and vegetables, right? Maybe you remember that, right? Okay, so then you have these two parts of the congregation. Okay, let's suppose our congregation was like that. We'll split you right down the middle, okay? So you guys can be the vegetable people and you guys can be the meat people. All right. So the vegetable people think you can't eat meat. So they look over here and what do they say to you bunch of people? You're a bunch of sinners because you're eating meat. Okay. So then the meat people, they look over here and they say, you guys need to read your Bible. See, you can read meat. You're a bunch of fools. Now you can imagine that if this half is calling this half fools and this half is calling this half sinners, it's not going to do a lot of good for unity, right? Okay, so that's what Paul's writing about in Romans 14. So in Romans 14, this is what he says. He says, receive the weaker brother. Okay, so so first of all, right there, you could say there is a right answer, right? So 1 Corinthians 8 says there's a right answer. Romans 14 says there's a right answer. The people who eat meat are on the right answer side of it, right? However, so then you receive, if you are the people over here who are the meat-eating people, you would say to the other side, so it says, receive them. You receive them, and you receive them not for the purpose of disputation. Right? Right at the very beginning, okay? So what that means is, okay, so all of you people who are the meat-eating kind of people, you don't get in the foyer every Sunday, and as all those vegetable eaters come in the door, you go, hey, look, come on, we got to talk about this before you go in, because this is going to be a problem, right? Says you receive them as brothers, but not you don't receive them as brothers just so you can keep arguing about this thing. Okay, so we got to bring them along, and then, but then on the other side of this, there are times in the life of the church where we do stand up and we teach on the issue, right? So for instance, even 1 Corinthians 8. In 1 Corinthians 8, Paul is teaching all of Corinth this, right? And in all of Corinth, you got some people saying, I shouldn't be eating meat. But here's Paul in 1 Corinthians sending this letter there, telling them all it's okay to eat meat, right? So there are times and places where we teach on that. So that's what I do. That's one of the reasons why I'd like to start at the beginning of the book and go to the end. And you heard me say in the sermon, I think, or at least somewhere in the worship service, if I skip a chapter, that's problematic, right? We want to talk about all these things, but just at appropriate times, right? So am I getting to where you're talking about? Yeah. So don't receive people as Christian brothers just so you can argue with them about Pentecostalism or baptism or, you know, being a vegetarian or whatever, right? Talk about it at appropriate times, and that's good. So, Kathy. Right. Yeah. Maybe. We might, right? So I mean, it's yes. Right. Yes. Right. Most likely. most likely, hopefully, we would have this kind of discussion about our meal, right? So I get you all together and say, okay, here's what we're going to do about it. We're going to have meat and vegetables, and we're going to love one another, right? So you all who just want to eat vegetables, great. You all who feel okay eating meat, okay, good. And then we'll all do that. Where do we do that right now? We do that right now at the Lord's table, right? So I tell you, there's wine here and there's juice here. And, you know, some of you are not, you know, I mean, some people would say, look, we should only have juice. Some people would say we should only have wine. What we would say, what we've said is, okay, we understand that there are both of those issues, both of those sides of the argument. So what we have here in the tray is wine and juice, and please partake according to your conscience. Right? So we try to do it that way, at least partly. Bob. Yes, and one of the reasons that Romans 14 says we should act like this is because God is a God of peace, right? So we should get along with him. Right. And so God is right. So God is willing to fellowship with us, even when we're wrong, right? We have some things that everybody here understand. Everybody here believes that their theology is not perfect, right? Not yet. And yet God is still willing to answer your prayers, still willing to fellowship with you, still willing, to receive you, even in the imperfections that you have now. So, yeah. Good. Yes, John. Yes. Yes. Okay. So there are people who would say that all of us ought to wear masks. There are people who say none of us should wear masks. What the session has tried to say is if you're comfortable wearing a mask, wear a mask. If you want other accommodations besides mask wearing, we would like to make those accommodations for you. And if you don't believe that you should wear a mask, then you don't have to wear a mask, right? Maybe to put it another way, it's a place where liberty is the issue right there when we were trying to express that. We don't want to be people who mandate right against what your conscience might think you need to do. But we want to try to accommodate what your conscience thinks you need to do. Yes, Bob. Yes, we want to stay away from. We always want to stay away from legalism. The two kinds of legalism that we have are there's the kind of legalism where I work and therefore I'm saved. We always want to stay away from that, right? And then the other kind of legalism is I work, but I'm not working out of the gospel, right? So even out of this, right? So that I'm doing, even if I'm a Christian, but I'm doing all these things because the Bible tells me so, that's good, but I'm not doing them out of the gospel implications of what the Bible, right? Even here, you see, why should you be humble like this? Because Jesus saved you. I mean, right here it is. Or what's the other one? I didn't really highlight this too much in the text, but it says, if you eat food, it doesn't commend you in God's sight. If you don't eat food, it doesn't commend you in God's sight. What does commend you in God's sight is that you love God and that you, love your neighbor. That's what God's looking for out of your life. And therefore, you understand what I mean, commending it not in the legalistic sense. I mean that you believe the gospel, you're working out the implications of the gospel, and when God sees that, it's pleasing to him. Anthony. Yes.
Sometimes I need to get gas.
Right.
I go get gas. Is that not honoring the Sabbath or watching football or going to
Yeah.
And also, you know, if somebody saw me doing that, would that just make them stumble?
Yeah. So there's a whole lot of things on the Sabbath, right? So one of the things, so some basic principles. This is kind of a John MacArthur quote, but it's called the Lord's Day. That means it's the Lord's, and the day belongs to the Lord. So, right? And it seems like the implications of that, the day belongs to the Lord in order to worship, in order to do things that foster your relationship with God, blessing upon God's people, right? Those kinds of things. So for instance, even here when we didn't have an evening service, if you get here first thing in the morning, you know, at the prayer meeting, you probably left home at 8:30. You're going to go to lunch until about whatever, you know, 2 o'clock. You might get home at 2 o'clock. So you've got a good chunk of a day in there, right, where you fellowship, you worship, you come, that seems to me to be honoring the Lord's Day in that context, right? Now I've tried to push that a little bit further to give people opportunity to worship in the evening as well. So, so if somebody said I'm not at morning worship because I'm watching football, let's talk about that, right? But if somebody's watching the highlights at 9 o'clock on Sunday night, I'm not that, you know, and they came to worship and those kind of things. So that would be, those are all kind of different. And that's a little bit different also for people in the pews as well as for me, right? So there's been ministers in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church who wanted to be part of professional sports leagues on Sunday, and they were called to step down as being ministers. I don't think they were excommunicated, but they couldn't teach. That was, yeah. Did I answer enough of your question? Yeah. So people say, well, it's a day of rest. I want to sleep. Great. You know, so I think I should sleep. It's a day of rest. I play with my grandkids, again, if somebody said I'm playing with my grandkids and that's why I wasn't at morning worship, then I go, wait a minute. Right. But, you know, so that I think the main thing is, what are you doing with the worship of God's people? Yes. Yes, so the general principle is you have 6 days to get all your work done, and then there's the seventh day when you gather with God's people to rest, right? So that's kind of how it implements, especially in the New Covenant, the emphasis there, right? So then, yes, so you've got that. Now, yeah. Right, so that's the general concept. I'll go with Bob. Okay. Right. Yes. Okay. So, right. So this comes back to Ethan's question earlier. There, for the when you look at all of these commands, you have to look at the bigger picture of what's loving, right? Okay. So Bob, you corrections officer, is that the right terminology? So Bob used to be a corrections officer, right? I don't want the criminals on the street because somebody wasn't there on Sunday, right? I don't think any of us do. We need somebody to go there and keep them there. Regardless of whether he's got to feed his family or all that kind of stuff, right? It's a necessity to do that. Same thing with people who are doctors and healthcare people who have to help people on the Sabbath. Yeah, that needs to be done. It's not optional, right? Yes, acts of mercy, those kinds of things. Absolutely, right. So, yes, Jonna.
Finally, brought up my conflict with mom when I came here, and so I got
Right. Good. Okay, so if your conscience is wrong, I'm going to come back to part of my answer that I gave to David. If you come to me and say, my conscience says that the Bible is not the Word of God, I go, hey, you don't get to be the weaker brother on that one, right? We are going to keep drilling that until you need to sit down and talk to somebody every week or every day or something until we get that fixed. But let's just take one that probably, okay. So we could have come, your conscience from your background could have been musical instruments. It could have been baptism. Could have been all kinds of things, right? So nothing in the Bible says that we ought to excommunicate you if you're wrong on those things. Because the Bible doesn't say doesn't allow the church to identify as a Christian, then if it's that kind of thing that a person's conscience is wrestling with, then we let you wrestle with it. And we don't want to force you to say, hey, look, you need to baptize your children, or you need to, be okay with musical instruments. Work, we give you some time, give you all the time you need, and ask the Lord to keep showing you things over time, right? Those kind of things. That would be one application of working out your salvation with fear and trembling, right? Once you get past the membership questions, if a person affirms the membership questions and their life's in conformity with the membership questions, then we would say, in the words of 1 Corinthians 8, you have a relationship with God, and therefore, if we come and we go crossways to your conscience, we could defile that, we could destroy that, we could be hurting your relationship with God because we're pressing too hard on those issues. Again, we want to talk about them when they come up, like every time. We're not going to not talk about baptism in the church when we baptize people, right? I mean, just because somebody's conscience is wrestling with that, we actually want them to be there during that time. But we don't want to keep beating them up about it. Yeah, good. Good. Bob again. Yes. Right. Yes, so you're coming alongside somebody and you're loving your neighbor. These are Bob's comments. So you're doing those things, and one of the ways you might have to do that is you might have to lay down part of your life. You might have to give something up. You might have to not eat meat, right? You might have to, right, for in whatever this situation is, or you might have to say, I'm not going to go to the butcher shop that doesn't make a distinction between what's offered to the idols and what's not, right? In that case, the 1 Corinthians 8. Is that now? Now that's right. Now you're meddling. That's what they say about that. So yes, yes. No, I'm willing to refrain from wearing my orange ties most of the time. Protestant orange is good. Good. Yes. Other things. All right.
You referenced the sermon 7:9. What was that verse?
16:9. 2 Chronicles 16:9. Yes. I'm doing that from memory. I probably should look at it, but I'm pretty sure that's it.
That element becomes not representative of what it's supposed to actually be. So you probably draw the line at someone who said, well, I don't want the sugar, or I don't want, for some other reason, they may say, I don't even want the grape juice, could you provide water? At some point you would
yeah.
have to say, that moves it from not being even associated with the element to, in some
Yes. Yeah, so
there's some part to that.
Uh-huh. So David mentions that so let's say you went to the Mormon church and there and they would serve water at communion. They serve a communion that has water. And somebody comes to you and says, "Would you serve water in order to accommodate me?" Right? Would that be fair?
Yes.
Okay, so somebody comes and says that. Okay, now what would I say? I think what I want to do is drill down and find out why. So if somebody said to me, you know, I mean, we have people who are lactose intolerant. We have people who are on special diets along that line. We had Matthew on a diet similar to that for a while. If they said that's the reason why, then we might say, okay. So, for instance, we've had people who would bring their own bread because they were afraid that eating the bread that's in the tray would upset them, even that small amount. So they brought their own, and we were fine with that, right? Because we understand why they're doing that, right? So I think that would be one. Maybe another way in which it comes up in the church. We have to be yes. Okay. So one way it comes up in the church is we'll have friends who will come from sister denominations, and one of our sister denominations is the Reformed Presbyterian Church North America, RPCNA. In the RPCNA, they sing only psalms, and they don't have musical accompaniment, right? So I know that's his conscience or their conscience, and so. But when they come here, I don't say, let's keep the cover on the piano and let's only sing psalms, right? We don't do that. But when they are in the congregation, if I know they're in the congregation, and there's one or two that I do recognize, sometimes I'll have us sing one or two of the verses of the psalm a cappella, because they typically won't sing the rest of the time, right? If there's either musical accompaniment or psalm. So I try to accommodate a little bit there, just in that way, right? And I love a cappella singing anyway. So, okay, Cindy and then Sammy.
So can't they go both ways? I mean, coming into our congregation, are they really expecting us to change everything for them?
No.
I mean, that would be, are they loving us?
Yes. No, I don't think. Right.
That needs to go both ways.
Yes. So Cindy's comment is that needs to go both ways. And I would agree that needs to go both ways. In fact, and one of the reasons I would argue that needs to go both ways for no other reason is because we are in ecclesiastical fellowship. Right. So with the RP, our elders got together with your elders and we said that you don't, you know, we might say you have errors in the way you worship, but they're not of such a fundamental nature that we can't say your brothers in Christ. And so we would call on them to recognize that agreement that we have and to live out of it.
I wouldn't go to their church and expect them to buy a piano for me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. You're not going to break out the kazoo in the back, right, when you go. Yeah. That's exactly right. That's right. And appropriately so. Right? Good. Sammy? Super. Great minds thinking alike out there. Yes. Yes. Although we, you know, again, we can, like if the elders had to get together and say, we're not going to do anything in any worship service that ever anybody had any objection to, you could see that would narrow really hard, really fast, right? Nobody's going to live life like that. So you got to say, the elders here are going to look at the scriptures. They're going to say, this is what we believe ought to be the elements. So elements, I'll use that term, in a worship service. And therefore, because we believe that, we're going to have those in a worship service. And that's all I think at that point, that's all we can do. That's a pretty particular special case, but that is what we do. Yeah. Good. Scott.
That's a perfect example of the very first time I became a believer, the first church I went to. The guy took me to this church and I accepted the Lord there. And I went to his house for a meeting. And he found out I was drunk. And he told me I had to leave this church with all the seven drunks. And I was shocked. He said, this is what God's about. I'm sorry. I was just totally shocked.
Yes.
I love coming to your church because I love staying with God.
So Scott mentioned that, yes, that he heard the gospel somewhere. He believed the gospel there. But then later on they said, hey, if you play drums, you got to get rid of the drums. So, pardon? Yes, that is a little shocking. But actually, his wife is in that camp. As long as you don't play him in the garage, I think, is where she's okay with that. Yeah. So, good. Right, right. We have priority that we are responsible to God. We have priority that we're responsible to this congregation, and we try to do things in God's sight that He would have us to do in this congregation. But even those, right? So God says, okay, God gives us knowledge in the Word, and we want to implement that knowledge in love. Just the reasonable, loving things to say in those contexts, even when we disagree with people. Yeah. Yes, sweetie. Abby, I think your dad wants me to answer that question at lunch.
Yes.
Okay. Is that okay? Atta girl. Okay, we'll do that. All right. Others? Let's pray together. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for your grace to us. We thank you that as we have wrestled through issues, you have been with us. As you and we have wrestled through issues, the body of Christ has loved us. As we have wrestled through issues when the body of Christ wasn't as loving as you'd have them to be, you helped us through that, and you worked those things out in our lives and in our relationships with your people. We do pray, O Lord, that we would hold our knowledge and aim it in a direction where we are loving with it. And we pray that you would help us as we desire to love people, that we would do that out of knowledge as well. And we pray for these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yes, any of you wanted to switch sides, we're welcome to.